Wird der heilige Halach
Schlüssel, Halacha Gimma, Gimma. Zayin Amr Alad. Haya Rosh Tor Yeret Nichnas Betoch Sdei Yeret Acher Mutar B'Sdei Shehu Nireh Kisol Sadeh. This was already discussed many times before we were discussing it in terms of a Sdei Tfu'ah, and here we're discussing it in terms of Yerek. And of course Yerek in certain ways is Chomer in the fact that it would be an Issa D'Oraisa if it were a mix, whereas it wouldn't be an Issa D'Oraisa in terms of the shear that Rabbanan have given us for Tfu'ah, but nonetheless a Rosh Tor is considered to be a very clear differentiation, a graphic differentiation of Kelayim, and therefore we don't care about the fact that there is Yanika together, we're only interested in the fact that there's no evident mixture. We've talked about before the question of having a row, let's say, of pishtim next to a tua or something like that. But here we're talking about yerakot. So you have now a field of yerakot, and you want to put in a row of a different yerak. What can you do? Rabbi Ishmael on there. Ashi hatelem mefulash yerosha sadeh ve'ad rosha. You need to make a graphic differentiation between one sada and the next. In other words, what you do is you draw a furrow straight across one end to the other of your field, and then you would be able to plant in the middle of there with whatever harchaka would be necessary, which we know is the normal harchaka, would be the three-spoken harchaka, depending on the machlokas before. And you therefore would not have any problem of having something defined all around it, because on all sides it would look like a different field, and then the other fields on both sides would start again. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need that. It would be fine if you would have Orach Shisha Tvachim. You could have it even surrounded on the three sides, or even start from one end. As long as it's six Tvachim long, and it's chavush, but it's not chavush from all four sides, chavush on three sides, so it's still be mutter. And the width of such a furrow would be milo o. And that milo o could mean two things. The Rosh says that the milo o refers to the shear given above, which is the shear of aruga, which is shisha tvachim. That's normal milo o, in other words, the full shear of the distance, which would mean that what we're referring to over here is a furrow that runs between the shura that you're making, an aruga that you're making, and the field to the right and to the left. We're not talking about the thing that you're planting in. We're saying, make a graphic demarcation of the field, says Rabbi Shmuel, by drawing a plow all the way across and digging it up. Same thing on the other side.
Furrow,
and then in between those two furrows, they're in the middle of your field, which you've now delineated into two separate fields, you could plant in between them. But I haven't told you how much distance you need. Notice that Sean says something about the width. I haven't told you how much distance you need between the beginning of your shura of the other yarek, let's say your onions, and the shura of your celery on the other side. Rabbi Akiva says, well, you need to have, first of all, a distance between the two. That's milu o, which again the Rosh says is six tefachim. And you don't need that it should be a furrow from one end of the field to the other end. Right? Now there's another sheet over here, and that's the Gros sheet, and we'll see the reason for it as we go through the sugya. The Gros sheet is here is that milu o does not refer to the above mentioned whole shear of the Sayyara for Shisha Tvachim. Milo O means something. It's the equivalent of the word Mashal. So in other words, having once dug this furrow, doesn't matter now if in the middle of this furrow you put in, very close to the edge, you put in a shura of your onions, it's okay. Review it all now. Rocha, Milo Rocha Vaparsa. He says the distance that you would need in between the new vegetables that you're going to plant and the vegetables that exist on either side from your yerek, before your tzedot yerek, is the width of your foot. In other words, the width of your foot is actually a tefach, it will be one tefach. Either he's being machmir, like the boy is being machmir, saying mashu is not enough to be a tefach, or like the rash, he's being mako. The people are saying six tefach, and he's saying one tefach. And we'll see that we get that from a pasuk where it says, v'yishkita b'rag l'cha k'gan hayarat. So we see that hashkaya b'rego is the definition of the delineator of the gan hayarat.
How wide is the furrow? The furrow that you're making, the two furrows.
It's the distance of, you mean the space between them?
The furrow itself.
How wide? That's what we're discussing.
The width of the furrow.
Yeah, itself. That's essentially what we're discussing, because we're assuming that you're going to, up until this furrow, you're going to plant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so it says in Gemara, okay, you say Hayarosh Tor Yerek. Something about Kapora, when we say that you can plant now, another thing, Eno Zorea L'Tolcha, Min Echad Bilva. Now, the truth is that this is very misleading, because what Bar Kapora is really referring to is in the case that we had earlier. He's not referring to our case. He's referring to the case that we had before where we talked about a gulamiyot, telem. And we said there you can plant one on one side, one on the other side, and one in the middle, and that's not considered to be chobesh because you left the edges open. So Bar Kapora, no, you can't. You cannot have three zeronim in a telem or in an amat hamayim. You can only have min echad, because you can only use the same thing inside the talon and up the edges of the talon. Because if not, you're going to end up being chodesh, the minutes betocho, with other min. So now getting to our case. The reason that this is nogea over here, even though it seems to be very far-fetched, is because essentially what we're talking about is chavisha, based on there being two separate minim on either side, which this is similar to. We have a yerek, and we're saying it's shalazim on two sides, and we're going to allow you to be planting in the middle, therefore we need distance between them. If you don't have a distance, we're going to look at it as if you're being kovish in the middle. Now, this is very strange, because Rabbi Yishmael doesn't say a word about the rochav. All of a sudden, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda, they come along to talk about the rochav, and they all don't need to have the furrow that's mefulash from one end to the other. Well, what is Rabbi Yishmael of the rochav? Well, I mean, consider for a moment. My Rabbi Akiva, who's ready to say that it's chodesh b'shalosh luchot, is le rochav milo, Rabbi Yishmael, shohu chodesh b'shtei luchot, lo chosh again. If Rabbi Akiva is very makel, in a sense, because Rabbi Akiva, he's ready to say that I don't care if it's chodesh on all three sides. It doesn't need to be mefulash. It just needs to have, it obviously can't be in the middle, but it only has to be open on one end. Nonetheless, he said, even though I'm very makel about that, I want you to know that you need at least a shirim milo'ol, and if you don't think you can just plant up to it, again, that could be shisha kelchim according to Rash or something. So Rabbi Yishmael, here it's much more mashma like the Rash, in terms of the shir, not a mashma. So certainly Rabbi Yishmael, who holds that it would be usher if it would be Mishalash Ruchot, he would for sure say you need to have a harchaka, and the harchaka would be either Shisha Tvachim or we would say Mashu according to the Gra. Now, according to the Gra, we'd have to obviously read this difference, and we'd have to say that it's a Kula. Mashu is not a Shir, so according to him we'd have to say if Rabbi Akiva is Matir, he is Matir even though it's Chavush Mishalosh Ruchot. So it's not so clear, it's not so evident that it's distinguished from the steyeric around it. Nonetheless, he says you can get away with a mashu. So Kosh Kedan Liber Rabbi Yishmael, who holds that you only would be dealing with a case where there's a very big hacker, because it goes from one end of the field to the other, he for sure wouldn't require more than a mashu. So it would be the exact opposite way of looking at it. Ma Amar Rabbi Yishmael b'shurash yerek b'teivua, and what would Rabbi Yishmael have said? Here we're talking about a shur of yerek in yerek. Would Rabbi Yishmael have said the same thing here, and he would have said you require mefulash, Or would he have said that since, because we know before we saw Rabbi Akiva, he said as long as you have a shear of a base rova, which is 10 amos plus, 10.4 amos, as long as you have a long shear, which is 10 amos plus, that already delineates a separate shear. And there it's not mafulash. Would Rabbi Yishmael insist that even in a state tefillah, where the choice of a non-mefulash would be a very, very big distance anyway, so it would make a clear, tough, graphic statement, which in a vegetable field, which is just a garden, is very small, you don't have that opportunity, would he argue nonetheless and say you still need mefulash from one end to the other? Or would he say, well, once you're dealing with 10 amos, that's major. I mean, that would be enough, even according to me. So that's our question. We never met Rabbi Yishmael's Shita when it comes to a state tefuah. So what would he hold? Well, says the Gemara, a mind Rabbi Akiva and Davi Mekel Hoka, who marked the Taman. Rabbi Akiva is very Mekel over here, right? He says it's enough to have the length of an Arug. In other words, 6 tefachim long is sufficient. You don't require Mefulash. Nonetheless, when it comes to Yerek by tefuah, he says, well, over there it's not going to be enough to just have an aruga above tefachim. You need to have yud amos, right? That's what he says over there. So that means kosher came. Rabbi Yishmael, who is machmir hoka, Rabbi Yishmael says it's not enough to have above tefachim over here, and you need to have mefulash from one side to the other. Kosher came, but it's going to be machmir taman. He's going to also say that when it comes to tefuah, we need to be more machmir. My more machmir is more machmir according to my standards. My standards are mefulash. So I'm certainly not going to be mekel because we're talking about tefuah. So no kosher yach mitaman. That really shouldn't have been your question. The question should have been, lo tzurcha delo, what we don't know is, that madyomer rishmo taman berochav. Our question over here is, what about the question of the rochav? Rabbi Akiva said what the rochav is over there. He says that you need a rochav of 6 full tefachim as well. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, who is machmir, he says, no, you're going to need more. So what exactly is this year? Do we say, kama the ad amet, we have to change the gears, kama the ad amet rochav? Do we say the same way that you say over here, and there's no difference, lo shanya, he Rabbi Akiva, he Rabbi Yishmael Barochav, kain at amar taman. Now that's the gross gears, huh? Which makes sense. Now do we say that in the same way that we've just shown before, that everybody holds, we made our kavachomer, everybody holds you need a rochav, bimu'o, again, going for Jurassic chat, that that's a chumra, that you need 6 tefachim. Kain at amar taman, so too you would say over there. Lo shna makes no difference. He Rabbi Akiva, he Rabbi Yishmael, berochav. They would both agree that even according to Rabbi Yishmael, the berochav would be sufficient, that it's 6 tefachim since it's dealing with tefuah. And that's a question. So, lo shanu, tell us shura achat. Now let's stand. Lo shanu ala shura achat. And where do we say that it's sufficient to have 6 tefachim? Where you have one shura alone. But if you would have 2, then already it looks like hashtayim asura. Then already it looks like you have a whole different area in the middle here. And then you would require, even according to Rabbi Akiva, that it should be mefulash. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Tarvayim, Amri, both say that no, we disagree with you, and we say that this is Christian. And Shmuel says it makes no difference. Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel and the Reish Lakish say together it makes no difference whether it's 1 or whether it's 2. Same halacha that our furrow of Shisha Tvachim is enough. The Shimon ben Lakish on that, mutter latia al basharot bika. If you have a bika, and this refers to a large area, and it's all planted with tefuah, so then there you can have even 4 different shurot of vegetables inside of a bika. We know that where we have a full field, if we have a full field of yerek, then we have a problem. The distance between a field of yerek and a field of tefuah has to be a full Beit Rova, Machmer. But over here we don't have a field. We have Shurot. So the question is, how much is considered to be Shurot? How much is considered to be a field? Here we said before the question of 1 Shurot versus 2 Shurot, and it's a Be'er Yerek. How about in a today of Tvua, in a very large field? Since Reish Lakish, you could even put in four Shirot, it wouldn't be considered to be a field of Yeret that would require a full Beit Rova between it and the Tvua around it. Even for such a thing, it would be enough, six trucks. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, well, not necessarily. It's only a Bilvach Yeshtei Shirot Achitzonot, you don't know Tzaru God. It is only if the outer Lot Shirot, which are the ones that are making the graphic distinction, they have to be the shear of an aruga. But so in other words, they need to be six taught, which is the minimum shear of an aruga. Once you have that, I don't care about the middle ones. The middle ones, you may have a very thin row of, some onions or something, which is nowhere near six taught. But as long as you have two rows on the outside that separate between the tura, that's okay. On the Rebbe Zira, one additional comment. You're talking about these arugot. And that they're the same shear as an aruga. I'm ready to agree to that. But they don't have to be planted as an aruga. In other words, as long as you have a furrow that's 6 tefachim wide on the outside, and 6 tefachim wide on the other outside, and then you plant it, even if you only plant 3, mitoch shisha, so not the whole thing is planted, it's also good enough to be a clear-cut distinction between the tvua on either side. It has to be a minimum of 3 tefachim, not those. Talking about how much of the aruga is planted. 3 out of 6 is sufficient. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Taina Rabbi Yehuda, where did Rabbi Yehuda get the idea of regal? Because it says in the Torah, V'ishkisa barak l'cha kigan hayarak. It's referring to Mitzrayim, right? So it says that a gan hayarak is something that you're mashke with your foot, which shows that as long as you can get your feet in it, even if you have to put 1 foot in front of the other foot, that is the shear of an avodah for a yerek. And what is that shear? Matame shear, rasho parasa, 1 tefa. The Torah was talking just about describing the reality of the way planting in the triumph was versus as long as you're but what it really means is you'd walk along in order to bend down and pick up water and so on. And that's all I'm saying, is the most we need is an area for you to get your feet without squashing the vegetable. From that we derive that the shear of an avoda for a gun is one tefa. Given that, no, along the furrow. You can walk along the furrow. Yeah. So once that's true, that's the shear of the distinction between one field and the next, is what really is. It's not mamash alimut, obviously. It's just, he's just telling us that the tzias is that a gan we relate to in terms of the shkisa barangla. The problem is that we seem to have two completely discussions of Rabbi Yehuda Shita over here. I mean, we have our Mishnah, Tanina Nahacha to Rabbi Yehuda, and we've explained what it's meant here. But we've also, here in terms of the difference between one shura and the next shura, the Tanina Taman, and we also learned it in terms of the first Mishnah, the Mishnah of Aruga. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he said that you were allowed to plant 6 different things inside of an aruga. And we said that the reason, even though there was a gobel tabiz, he said it doesn't matter, put in 6 plants. He said, why do you put in 6 plants according to him in the middle? That's because you only need a tefach, not a tefach and a matzah. If you only need a tefach, then first of all, you don't have to take off the half tefach all around because of the gobel, because you have the distance of the gobel itself, which is 1 tefach high. And furthermore, when you're coming to split up into diamonds, the area inside, you can get 6 in because you only need 1 tefach instead of a tefach and a matzah. So that means that essentially we know this done already. The opening Mishnah in our parak has essentially told us, that according to the Yehuda, 1 tefach is the shear of distance between one min and the next. Now, it's probably based on the same sphere of the pasuk of the parak, the shkisa baraglacha. So, why exactly do we need both of these in one parak two different statements of Rebbe Yudishita. Let's say they would have said only our case, not all the Sabin of the Aguda. So Havir and Amit, no, they would have said, my Rebbe Yudishita, Mach Merhacha, Mekel Taman, Rabbanan, the Elin Makil Hacha, Lo Koshikin, Yakil and Taman, right? I would have said, so Rebbe Akiva over there and Rebbe Yishmael, they hold of this Rochav Miru'o. Now here, you see, here is we get into our problem of the Groz Gerza. The reason that the Groz said that Miru'o can't possibly mean what the Rosh is saying, Shisha talking, and it has to be a Mashahu, is because of this Sugya. Because this Sugya is saying, if Rebbe Yehuda is Machmir here, really, he's Machmir. He's Mako. He's saying a Tefach. Everybody else is saying more. He's saying, she's a Tefach. He's not being Machmir. Therefore, it says the Gemara, no, he's being Machmir because a Tefach is a Bichumah. If Miluah means a Macho. You see, so it's very hard to learn this story any other way. I mean, well, what do you do with this? And Rosh doesn't deal with this. He just talks about the Mishnah, ignoring the Rishami. But the way the Gemara is looking at it, it sees that it is a Chumah. Which certainly is saying that Milu'o cannot be Shisha Drachim, and he's saying one Tefach. Okay, so if the Gra is right, then the Gemara is making a lot of sense. The Gemara is saying, if Rabbi Yehuda is being Machmir over here to say that you need a Tefach, and you can't have a Mashu the way everybody else is claiming in the Mishnah, nonetheless, he is being Mako Taman. He's Mako in the Mishnah of Aruga. He says, when it comes to Aruga, it's enough to have a Tefach and not a Tefach in Mechza. So then the Rabbanon here, who are arguing on him, and they say, Arochav Miruo, which is a Mashu, and we came out saying that Rabbi Shmuel also is a Mashu. So it's both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva saying Mashu. So those Rabbanon who make it over here, Lo Kol Shikin Yachim on Taman, I would have jumped to the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda Shita of one Tefach, it's universal. For sure, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel are going to be moted in an Aruga, but it's enough to have one Tefach. Therefore, if I have no choice but to tell you that no, that's not the case. That according to the other Mandiyamim, you need a Tefach Umechta. You can only fit in five in the middle, and therefore when you have a Govel, and you require a Tefach Umechta, you don't have an Aruga of Shisha Shisha anymore, because you ate up half a tefach on all sides of your aruga in order to provide the distance to the top of the govel. So you're left with only 1 min in the middle, which means you have 12 min on top, and 1 min is a total of 13. And if I wouldn't have known that, I could have easily jumped to the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda Shita represents the most chomer Shita, and that for sure everybody else would agree that you can have 25 or 18, depending on what our minimize that it's at the govel. So, and on the other hand, I would have said, that Havitzuchim has to come on. Oh, you know, Tanitha Taman. Let's say I would have had it the other way. I would have had the Mishnah of Aruga. Velo Tanitha Hach, I would not have said our Mishnah. So I've been an Amin, and I would have said, oh, well, Ma'in Rabbanadina Machmir and Taman. If those who are Machmir over there, and they say you need a Tefach Umechta, are Machmir over here less, that is really good, saying over here, a Roch of Mashahu, and that's less than before. So, Rabbi Yehuda do make your taman local. She came to Yakiolaka. Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, should go down over here. And he's saying over there, you only need a tefach, so then he should certainly now be even more mako. And he should say, a mashu is sufficient. Therefore, comes along Rabbi Yehuda to say, no. You definitely do not be showing up on a mashu over here. You need to have a full tefach. Have it through from Asmiyoko, through from Asmiyoko, which proves. Three of us. Now, we need both, have the first Mishnah and the third Mishnah.
Halacha
Dalek. Hanoteya Shtei Shurot of Kishuin, Shtei Shurot of Diluin, Shtei Shurot of Pul Hamitri, Mutai. Now, remember that these are all examples of Mukshe. Mukshe was the term that we used for vines that cling to the ground and that spread with large leaves, and they tend to be aggressively invasive. Those are called muksha. These are three examples that we talked a lot all the time about muksha. Kishuin, and obviously the word muksha is kishuin. Diluin is pumpkins, squashes. They're all the same. And Polamitri is of course, is immortalized in Jack of the Beanstalk, which was the most aggressive moksha that is known. And so these are our examples now of the moksha. So if you have two shurot of one of these mokshas, two shurot of another, two shurot of the other, so since we have two shurot, there each one appears to be a separate field. There's enough that they have enough of their own unique presence that the invasive areas at the edges are not considered to be such a problem. And so we look at it not as irvuvia, but as separate fields, and you have our normal harfaka between them. Okay. The truth is, I must admit, that there's a machlokas between the Rashi and the Rambam as to whether you need a harfaka or whether they're claiming, whether this is the Rambam says, of course, you still need the harfaka. He's just telling you it's not considered to be irvuvia. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't look at the whole thing, it's a big mess. But you still need your normal harfaka between one and the next. You need your normal shishat vachim. The Rosh holds that this is considered to be a separate field and therefore are well delineated because of their size. Don't require even a harfaka.
Is it called yiras?
These are called moksha.
A separate
field? Yeah.
Not in
the last one?
No
harfaka? Yeah. No, you don't care. They're separate fields. Shurasha kishurim, shurasha dibuim, shurasha polamitri is awesome. However, since if you're going to have different shurot over here, that's definitely considered to be awesome because there's really two ways of learning it over here. One way of learning it is because it looks like Yerushalmi. The other way of learning it, which is consistent with Yerushalmi's general approach, is because it's Kodesh. In other words, where something is not a field in which it's self-defined and it's only a shura, then you create this new problem, the Yerushalmi's problem, called delimiting, field delimiter. So if over here you'll have a shura alone of one min on either end, you delimit the area in between, and therefore the entire thing has delimited itself and creates the status of kilayim. Right? This is what we've had all along from the beginning of the Mitzvah, this new concept of Chavisha. As I mentioned to you, the Rambam has never mentioned this concept of Chavisha. There's all types of discussion, why it is, on what basis he has for ignoring the Gemara's main theme here throughout. So one shot, as we saw before, is for the Zeira's time that we had earlier. If you're going to hold a Chavisha, then a valley, by definition, is Chavush, then there's no Eilat HaRitzos. Right? So at what point is something not Chavush? Is anything on the same continent, Chavush by the continental shelf? I mean, what exactly does Chavush mean? Shurasha Kishurim, Shurasha Diluim, Shurasha Polamitri, and then a Shurasha Kishurim again at the end. There, Rabbi Yehuda says that's okay. Because what you have over here, and again, there's two ways of learning this, either we can say, because any two minim will participate in creating a separate area, or we can say the kishurim on either end define this as a sada for themselves, as a state kishurim, not as a sada for these other meanings. And therefore, in such a case, Rabbi Eliezer says, it would be okay. But the chachamim mostly, and they say, we don't say that we're mitzvah to separate meaning, or we don't say that it looks like one field just because the outermost fields are the same type. Now what you could also do, incredibly enough, is in one depression plant Notea Adam Kishut Vidalat Utoku Marachat, and you would say, oh well, wait a second, I mean these are very aggressive plants, isn't this the ultimate Kilayim? No. On condition that you plant each one in a different direction. So Bilvachate Notelatsadro. And you have to be careful, you should not say notea, you should say note. Mm-hmm. Note sa'ar shozulakan, the hair, meaning the leaves that are growing, have to be bent by you in one direction out of this depression, and the other one bent in the other direction. Shozulakan, shozulakan. Why? Shukin masha osukakonim logozrelevi, neymakitai. As we saw earlier, the real din of Kilayim is only the case where I actually plant Kilayim. The fact that something is planted in something else isn't really Kilayim in Yeraisa. It's only Kilayim in Rabbonim. But because the Rabbanan said, anytime somebody walks along and sees one new plant and a new other, it looks like they were planted together. But where I make a clear differentiation graphically, that's the basis of the Rosh Torah Hetzer, so too it's the basis of this Hetzer. If I'm showing that these things are separate by dragging all of the vine out to one end on one side and the other end on the other side, so then there is no Ma'is Ayin, and in point of fact, I did not plant these two things together, the Ma'palya to be Tilayin. So what's your problem? That their roots are mixing? So what? Torah didn't ask for the mixing of roots, that they're being yonic from the same place. The Torah asked for planting Tilayin. I didn't plant Tilayin. The Rabbanan asked for anything that looks like it was planted Tilayin. This doesn't look like it was planted Tilayin. So therefore, there's no problem over here. No, it's because of the fact that they're moksha, and over here the moksha is actually a kula. Because it has such a long extended vine, it's a full different direction. It shows me that they're different directions.
Yeah, in here, in the one hole.